What's going on, swingers? Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Swing Podcast. I'm going solo with producer Anthony today. We're going to get into the sticky substance stuff that's sweeping through the MLB. I'm going to touch on my AL starting all-star game lineup as of now. We're also going to get into some NBA talk, so don't miss all that and more on this week's episode of the Big Swing Podcast.
Throwing cheese on the Big Swing Podcast with Blue Jays pitcher Ross Stripling and co-host Cooper Searles.
All right, welcome, swingers, to another episode of the Big Swing Podcast. Today is Wednesday, June 9th, and we are doing a solo pod with myself, Ross Stripling, pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, and producer Anthony. We couldn't sync up with Cooper this week, so I think this is the first time me and Anthony are going to rock an episode solo. Cooper and him have done a couple, but this one is just me and Anthony today. Anthony, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, Ross? Yeah, first time, so it's pretty exciting. But before we get into anything, I do want to say that this episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. Do not forget the name, because with June heating up and all the sports action, you want to be sure to bet your options and the marquee matchups and prop bets, of course, futures as well, as we know the basketball playoffs are on right now, as well as the NHL playoffs. So visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's free money, as Cooper always likes to say. Before the next tip-off or face-off or pitch, for that matter, be sure to go on betonline.ag and start playing today. Ross, here we go. Our first episode. I know you wanted to talk about it right off the bat. It's a sticky situation, I guess. I'll just lob it to you from there.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, good pun intended there. Yeah, so, you know, this is the sticky substance stuff that we're seeing, man, really in baseball media one way or another, basically every day right now. And I'm not going to go necessarily into the sticky stuff, but I did want to kind of touch on just the subject real quick. And you know, I've said it before on this podcast, I think that it was getting out of hand with how obvious pitchers were being as far as going to their hat, going to their glove, whatever it might be. They're reapplying the stick basically between every pitch, you know, and it just got out of hand. And I think MLB needed to get ahead of it. And that's what we're seeing. That's what I've said on this podcast and prior episodes. As players, we're anxious to see how proactive MLB and umpires are going to be as far as actually going out and enforcing it, right? How often are they going to check hats? Are they going to check gloves, check hands? Whatever it is they're going to do, you know, we're all kind of sitting back over these next few weeks to see what that process is like. And that's kind of all I wanted to say about that. What I really wanted to touch on was kind of just how I'm upset I am about how public it's become. You know, when we talk about how it was really players versus MLB versus the owners as we were heading into that 60-game season last year, that 2020 season, and how public that got on social media and everywhere, and just kind of how a shame that was for the sport in general. It was just kind of dragging it through the mud. It was tough. I feel like this is kind of on its way to being that, but this is different because this is player on player. You know, we have guys like JT Realmuto who said, this is worse than steroids. Nick Castellanos, other guys have come out and talked to the media. Sports Illustrated basically put the most ridiculous cover I've ever seen, where it basically looks like a glob of maple syrup running down a baseball and some dude's fingers on it. You know, that's just out of hand. That's not even close to what it's like. You know, and what frustrates me is we're part of a union. We have Zoom calls all the time. We're in locker rooms with each other all the time. We're playing against each other all the time. And yet we're kind of doing this in the media. And, you know, this could be handled on Zoom. This could be handled in locker rooms. And we're doing it out in the open. And I just kind of want to say that I'm upset that it's players versus players, you know, dealing with this situation. When it's been part of baseball for 100 years, and it's probably not going away even with what we're seeing right now. And, you know, I just wanted to take a second and just touch on that. I just hate to see that position players are pitted against pitchers right now. And it's kind of what is overshadowing the sport of baseball right now when it shouldn't be.
That's pretty amazing to discuss. And I know everyone's going crazy. As someone who wants to be a part of the media, I will have to say I'd prefer to not hear about that. I'd rather have, like you just said, they handle it, you guys discuss it, because that's none of our business. That shouldn't be any of our business. And I know how writers are and everyone, they take something, and if they get that inside scoop, they don't care about the other person that it impacts because they're only cared about their paycheck, which is pretty unfortunate, because it's very rare where you find someone in the media that has those morals so high where they respect that privacy. So I totally am on board with that.
And people love the unspoken rules, right? Like, this has been an unspoken rule in baseball for a long, long time, for generations, and it's kind of coming to light now. So there's a lot of people that want to hear about it, know about it, write about it, because it's something that's basically been untouched, untalked about for years and years, and now it's coming to a head. So, you know, I understand where the peak interest comes from. you know, I just wish that it would stay in the shadows where it belongs.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully now we could transition to a positive note with the 60 games so far gone through in the season. The AL All-Star team, which you said you wanted to talk about so far this season, those top nine players that are on that field for the All-Star game thus far.
Yeah, so we're only 60 games in, but the voting is live. You can go vote for All-Stars right now. So obviously I'm in the AL after 5-plus years in the NL, now in the American League. So just going to run through who, if I think the All-Star game started tomorrow, this would be my starting lineup for the American League All-Star team. So right off the bat, first base, it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That was probably the easiest call. Has an over 1,000 OPS, basically leads the AL in every offensive category. Vladdy Jr. at second base. This one's a little tough. I went Marcus Semien. So we got the right side of the infield is all Blue Jays. And as you'll see, I'm going to do the whole left side of the infield is all Red Sox. I went Marcus Semien starting at second base over Altuve. I think they're pretty close. Don't sleep on Nick Madrigal and the White Sox, but I think it's probably going to be a race between Semien and Altuve. Semien's got a higher OPS, more homers, and just a few points shy of Altuve's average, so I think Semien has an edge right now. All right, so moving to the left side of the infield, I went Devers at third, and shortstop, I went Bogaerts, so obviously both for the Red Sox. Devers, 24 years old, leading the league in RBIs. I think it's his spot to lose for sure. And then Bogaerts somehow remains one of the most underrated players in all of baseball, certainly one of the most underrated shortstops. Everyone talks about this crop of shortstops that's about to be free agents, rightfully so, but Bogaerts is sneaky as good as anybody. He's basically been a lifetime 300 hitter. Over the course of his career. So that's the infield. Vladdy Jr., Marcus Semien, Devers, and Bogaerts wrapping up the infield. So moving to the outfield. So the way you can vote, I think you can just vote outfielders. You don't really vote by position, like left field, center field, right field. You just will vote the three highest outfielders will start. So I went Shohei Ohtani. I went Aaron Judge. And the last one I threw in there was Austin Meadows. Man, the Rays are in first place. And Meadows is tied for the league in RBIs. They have the best record in the AL. It makes sense that they would have a starting all-star player, right? So I went Meadows in there. Obviously, it should be Mike Trout. It's a shame he's out 6 to 8 weeks with a calf thing. Ohtani, 16 homers. He's a freak athlete. He steals bases. We've seen him pitch. I think the Angels would rather see him get in at bat or two rather than throw an inning or two. And he deserves to start in the all-star game. He's arguably the best baseball player on the planet. I'll have that argument with anybody anytime. He's doing something we haven't seen in baseball in a long, long time and probably may not see ever again. So he deserves to start. So I have him in left field. I got Aaron Judge. You know, he's doing what he's doing. When he's healthy, he always does this. So he's back to form. Him in right field, and I put Meadows in center. At catcher, Salvador Perez coming back from Tommy John surgery on a sneaky good Royals team. That was an easy call. And then at DH, I did JD Martinez after a tough 2020 where a lot of people probably got off his bandwagon. He was struggling. He didn't perform last year, but he's back to being one of the best hitters in the league that he's shown for a long time. Yeah, so that wraps up the position players. And then as a starting pitcher, man, this was tough. I narrowed it down to three. I narrowed it down to Glasnow, Gerrit Cole, and Shane Bieber. They're all striking out like 14 per nine. I mean, they're just killing it. I think if I had to pick one right now, I'd actually go Glasnow, kind of what I touched on Meadows. They're in first place in the hardest division in baseball, the AL East. You know, he's killing it. But actually, I think if push comes to shove, my guess is actually would be Gerrit Cole would start it. But I think it's Glasnow in my book. So, yeah, that's just running through it real quick, man. I know that's a lot of words coming at you, but that's my AL starting all-star team right now. We'll do the NL at some point. Obviously, we still have weeks until we're even till the all-star game. But 60 games into the season, you start getting an idea where guys at, what their year is going to look like. And what's cool, man, is these are, you know, obviously some of the best players in baseball are having really good years and going to be rewarded by starting the All-Star game. So pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say being a part of the All-Star, you're already at the top 0.1%. And then when you go to the All-Star game, it's like, oh man. Quick question though, when you were on the All-Star team, is it nervous kind of because you're around all these great athletes and it's like, man, this is as best as it gets?
I was nervous because it was my first one. I kind of snuck in the back door to get in there, right? Because my manager was the coach and I don't remember who it was got hurt. So we needed an extra pitcher and that's how I got in, right? So like, you know, was very comfortable saying like, I belong, I've had a good year, but at the same time I snuck into this All-Star game. Like, do I really belong? Like, do these guys see me as their equals? You know, and then you roll out there and you're shagging BP next to like Scherzer and Greinke and all these guys. My locker was between Arenado and Blackman, who I had to pitch against the Rockies all the time, and I'm trying to like strike up conversations, you know. So it was a little overwhelming at first because it's also crazy, man. We were on the West Coast. We flew through the night into DC and then had stuff early the next day. You're walking the red carpet with your wife, you're doing stuff with your family, you're watching the Home Run Derby and then the game the next day. It's just a whirlwind of 2 days, and all the while you're trying to make friends and talk to guys and feel like you fit in, and these are the best guys in the world, and you get to watch how they go about their business and pick their brains. I ate lunch next to DeGrom and Bryce Harper. You know, like, it's just, it's the A-listers, and, you know, you definitely get wide-eyed for a second, and then you realize I'm one of their peers, man, and just try and fit in, strike up conversation, and have a good time.
Now, from the All-Stars to pretty much the elite brackets of the NBA playoffs, I know it's been rather crazy. We saw a Game 7 with Luka Doncic versus Paul George and Leonard, but somehow the Clippers snuck back. They win Game 7. They're on. They're advancing. It looks like they'll be playing the Utah Jazz. I know you've been busy with games and stuff, but Kawhi Leonard, I'm sure you've heard, he is just a monster, man. Oh, my.
Yeah, just a, you know, sneak peek into my Beast of the Week. He's my Beast of the Week for later in this episode, and rightfully so. I mean, he has the Kobe gene, right? Which is like, he steps up when he needs to and when he wants to, and he can put a game away single-handedly on both sides of the floor. And I hate it because I grew up a Mavs fan, right? I grew up 10 minutes from that stadium. I love Luka. I love you know, what he will bring to the Mavericks for hopefully the next 10 years plus. I do want to see some better pieces around him besides Kristaps, you know, even though for a minute I thought that Porzingis was going to be awesome and they were going to be as good a 1-2 combo ever, and that just hadn't panned out that way. You know, Luka puts up 46 in Game 7, and Kawhi still takes him down, you know, so gave him everything they could handle. There wasn't nobody won a home game until Game 7, right? And so it was just a crazy series, and those were great because they were tipping off so late. You know, I'm on Eastern time, so those were tipping off at like 9:30 Eastern time, so I got to watch the whole game basically after our game, and, you know, rooting for the Mavs, it just didn't quite pan out, man. What'd you see from that series?
I just saw Luka play beautiful basketball. But, you know, a take that I don't think is as hot, I think he's going to be the next big-time hated player once LeBron leaves, in my opinion. Yep. Because he's really good, and he argues a lot about foul calls, and fans, you know, don't like that, of course, now. But he's just really, like, man, he wants a foul call every time, and I just have a feeling that he can be player to boo and not really like as much. But, I mean, he lit them up. I wish Porzingis, the unicorn, could have stepped up. He's so big, but he wants to shoot outside too much. And it's just like having another shooting guard. If he could just get down there and then get some sirloin steak on those biceps, I think he'd be all right.
I mean, so Cooper picked Luka as his Beast of the Week last week, and that's the first thing I said. I was like, dude, he just complains too much. I mean, he'll hit a sick shot. He did it in Game 6 that they won in L.A. He hit like a really sick shot down the stretch where he did like this crazy footwork, probably traveled, but does this awesome footwork, hits this like little fadeaway. And instead, he could have run back and played defense, and it was like to go ahead by two, and he stares at the ref the whole time. And you're just like, dude, you just hit a go-ahead shot in Game 6, and you choose to go bitch at the ref instead of like go back and play D. That's what I've said the whole time. I think that's the next step in his game, and I hope he develops that because gets over the you know, complaining and stuff. Because like you said, like I said, like Coop said last week, I mean, he has a chance to be as good as anyone we've seen in the NBA, bro. He's like 21 years old.
Yeah, he's the same age as me. A quick story about that. My trainer, who it's called 10,000 Hours, he works with Adidas now. He's actually really big around the world. And he got a message from Mark Cuban saying, hey, what do you think about this Luka Doncic kid? Because he was scouting European basketball. He traveled to scout different leagues and players. And he goes, I think Luka is going to be special. And then, you know, Mark Cuban, he opened it, seen it, didn't respond. And then months later, oh, Mavs get Luka Doncic. And then here we are.
That guy did it. That guy sealed the deal for Cubes.
Maybe so. But wanted to touch on the Lakers because to me, in my eyes, it was a team that was five guys, kind of just individuals that are trying to be a team and collect it all. But it was kind of too late. They played a team in Phoenix, which was a solidified unit. That was my take on that.
Yeah, so I love the meme about LeBron, and I'm going to get into my real take after this, but I just liked reading this, where it's like, when LeBron wins, it's like, man, he can take anybody to the championship. And when he loses, it's like, I didn't have the support system to get it done this year, you know, which is so true. Like, what I thought when that series ended was, one, we just expect too much from LeBron. We've been so spoiled for 18 years, man. I mean, he missed, what, like 20 of the last 22 games with a high ankle sprain. You could tell he wasn't the same. He wasn't as convicted going to the basket, trying to score. And I think when AD went down, man, I think he kind of looked himself in the mirror and looked at the Suns across the court and was like, it's not going to happen this year. I don't have it in me. I don't have the support system around me and my teammates to get this done. And I thought it was kind of tough to watch for him. I thought it wasn't a good look. I thought he kind of mailed it in, checked out a little bit, which I hate, you know, but at the same time, man, he's played what, like an extra four seasons of basketball just in postseason games, you know, like he's allowed to, I guess, check out every now and then. But, and I don't want to take anything away from the Suns, man. Once CP3 was healthy, they took it to the Lakers, bro. They put him in the ground and put their foot on their necks and said, no, this series is over.
Yeah, Devin Booker reminded me of Kobe in that game 7 and 6. I like the moves. It was so beautiful, man. And they're playing at the highest level. It's like, wow. And Booker, he stepped up. And he's just like a young Kobe, in my opinion. I mean, he could shoot that ball.
8 for 8 from three in that first quarter. I mean, just put him away right off the bat. AD played, what, like 2 minutes? And then Booker's like, all right, I'm going to take this over. And it's going to be, literally, the game's going to be over at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, and he broke the Kardashian curse, which was a huge accomplishment. So I'll give him a lot of props.
That is a big one. That is a big one. Got to get over that hump. All right, so that's all we got for the main part of this podcast. We're going to take a little break, and after that, we're going to move into our Beast of the Week segment.
On deck in the Big Swing podcast, the Beast of the Week with Strip and Coop.
All right, guys, welcome back. With that, we're going to move into our Beast of the Week. Every week, we like to pick out something in sports, pop culture, something that catches our eye. We call it our Beast of the Week. Usually, it's Coop and I, but this week, we got producer Anthony on for guest appearance. So with that, Anthony, who is your Beast of the Week?
My Beast of the Week is Logan Paul and Floyd Money Mayweather. It has to be. because when, first off, we knew, you know, what the fight was going to be. It wasn't anything crazy. But to see a YouTube star and Floyd Mayweather in the same ring, that's literally anything's possible. Like, that was so surprising and hilarious. But whoever watched the fight, if you look, because the weight wasn't, it didn't need to be matched. It was an expedition. Logan Paul's 6'1", 190, and Floyd Mayweather's 5'7", 150. So it's just like a guy with just his lats are popping out like he's a monster. And then you got Floyd Mayweather trying to figure out how I'm going to knock this guy out or anything. So it's amazing. Boxing's a hard sport. I've been in the ring, like light sparring, and it takes a while because your heart at first is pounding because you're like, this guy is trying to hurt me. So I need to learn. And sometimes you learn the hard way in there. There's no other way to put it. But excellent job. They made a lot of money for the fans, and their paychecks are going to be looking wonderful at the end of the week.
So I didn't watch it. You know, I've never been really much of a boxing guy, and I certainly wasn't going to start with the Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather exhibition match. You know, what I wish I would have watched, because the kind of stuff that you talk about in the bullpen and the locker room is like, could I beat that guy? Could I beat him? You know, and Logan Paul kind of took the reins on that and said, I'm going to train and I'm going to take on arguably the best boxer that's ever walked the earth. And I'm going to get in the ring. And I'm going to fight him and I'm going to see what happens. And that's the kind of stuff we talk about all the time, man. You even like, you know, you'll hear people like, hey, could you have taken Ronda Rousey in her prime? You know, and most people, like most men, will be like, yeah, no doubt. And I've always said, no, she would whoop my ass 9 times out of 9, not even 9 times out of 10. She would whoop me every time, you know, and Logan kind of like went along with that and said, all right, I'm gonna jump in there and see what happens. And, I mean, it sounds like he held his own. Obviously, it was a goofy match, whatever. But, I mean, to step in there and fight him and do it on TV in front of millions of people, I mean, props to him.
Yeah, no, tip my cap, most definitely. But, Ross, who is your Beast of the Week?
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. It's Kawhi. You know, basically carried Toronto to a championship 2 years ago. Talk about being around Blue Jays staff and fans and people all the time. They still talk about that run that he went on to take Toronto to the promised land, and you know, Luka puts up 46 and he takes him down in a game 7, and you know, I think Damian Lillard has that Kobe gene that we've now mentioned a couple times on this podcast in a variety of ways, where he hits the big shots, and he does, you know, he did it this year in the postseason too. But Kawhi can take over the game in multiple ways, right? I mean, what is he called, the Claw, or is he the Claw? Like,
yeah,
he can take
Claw
over the game on the defensive end because he would guard Luka and make Luka uncomfortable at least as much as you can. And then he can hit threes, he can get to the rim, he slams putbacks, he lives above the rim when he wants. I mean, he does amazing things in the postseason, man, and really steps up when it matters. And, you know, the Clippers going on to take, who is it, Utah?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they just got battle-tested, man. They should feel really confident going into a Utah team that has basically little to no postseason success. talk about a team than the Clippers that might have a real chance to move on Western Conference Finals and go play for the finals. I think with Kawhi at the helm, man, it's in reach.
Yeah, and I do think that whoever wins between the Nets and the Bucks series, they're going to win the NBA Finals, my hot take. So that's what I'm going to rock with.
That's a good take. I think two or three weeks ago, Coop and I made our picks. I picked Bucks over Clippers, and I think he picked Nets over Clippers. So we're all kind of in the same ballpark. I think, man, the Nets, even without Harden, I was still impressed. Man, it's easy to forget how nasty Kyrie is. Whether you like him or not, when you watch him play, his handles and what he does with the basketball, man, and then Durant too. I mean, they're freaks. You got to score like 130 to beat him.
Yeah, good luck. That's a good, especially how the way the game's called now. Good luck. But right. We do want to say to follow us on social media at Big Swing Podcast, and also don't forget betonline.ag. Remember, swingers, you could join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. But Ross, where can they find you on social media?
I'm at Ross_Stripling on Instagram, at Ross_Stripling on Twitter.
All right, great. Well, swingers, we'll see you next week, hopefully with Cooper at the Realm.